Cracked fruit is another problem that worries gardeners. Fluctuating temperatures, moisture, high humidity, and improper fertilization result in irregular development of the fruit and cracking. These cracks often occur when heavy rains follow a dry spell. The rapid change in soil moisture causes the fruit to expand faster than the skin of the tomato. Vertical splits on the side of the tomato are called radial cracks. These are the most serious and commonly occur during hot and humid weather. Concentric cracking appears as rings of cracks around the stem of the fruit. When cracks appear on green tomatoes, the fruit usually rots before it ripens. Since this is not caused by a disease, the rotten fruit is safe to compost. Save affected fruit by harvesting cracked tomatoes immediately and finish ripening them inside. The flavor is not as good as tomatoes that ripened on the vine during sunny weather, but you'll still be able to enjoy the harvest. If the tomatoes develop a sour smell or begin to ooze, toss them in the compost pile. Cat facing is another disorder you may discover when harvesting your tomatoes. The blossom scar on the bottom of the fruit becomes enlarged or perforated. It is not clear what causes the problem, but it appears to be more common when cold temperatures occur during flowering. There are extreme fluctuations in day and night temperatures. Excessive pruning has occurred, or there's been an over-application of nitrogen fertilizer. As long as the fruit is otherwise undamaged, it is safe to eat. When these problems occur, make notes to correct your garden maintenance to avoid these problems in the future. Melinda Myers is the author of more than 20 gardening books, including Small Space Gardening. She hosts the Great Courses How to Grow Anything DVD series and the nationally syndicated Melinda's Garden Moment TV and radio program. Myers is a columnist and contributing editor for Birds and Blooms magazine, and her website is www.melindamyers.com. Master Gardeners, Sourdough, What's the Big Deal? By Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. I know this article is not about gardening. However, Master Gardeners have classes about chickens, canning, and other homestead backyard basic subjects that the public requests. So when a friend asked if we had a class on making sourdough bread, I decided to share what I've learned. The pandemic has spurred the interest of many people to begin growing their own food, preserving and baking bread. March put us all into shutdown mode, and suddenly it was hard to find yeast in the stores. Since sourdough bread doesn't require yeast, the rest is history. You can turn water and flour into a delicious, bubbly, fermented, living organism. It takes just a bit of time the first week, since the starter needs to be fed daily. Here's how. Starter, a mixture of flour and water which naturally collects yeast and bacteria from the air, causing it to ferment. Each batch can taste different depending on the microorganisms and surroundings. Starters from different parts of the country vary in taste, since they are pulling different microorganisms from that particular part of the world. If you take care of it, the starter can live for years. Mix 3/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of flour and 1/2 cup of water and stir until smooth in a 1-quart clean plastic container. Cover with a paper towel or dish towel, not a lid. Place the container on the counter or other location for 24 hours. A location that is 70 to 75 degrees is best, and somewhere you won't forget about it. Some people use the top of their refrigerator. Feeding. Every day about the same time, stir in the same amounts of flour and water. This is called feeding the starter. After several days, the starter will begin to bubble. Never put it in the refrigerator since This causes the fermentation to stop. Fifth day, take one half of the starter and put in a container in the refrigerator. This causes the fermentation to stop. You will use that starter for your next recipe. To the remaining starter, add 1 1/2 cup of lukewarm water, 1/2 cup of oil, 1 tablespoon of salt, 1/3 cup of sugar, 6 cups of flour. Knead the mixture and let sit until it rises double. Cover with a clean dish towel. Then punch down and put in loaf pans. Cover with a damp cloth and let rise again. Cook at 300 degrees for 40 minutes. Times vary depending on your oven. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Texas Master Gardeners.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 16th, 2020. Removing Nutsedge Weed by Jeanette Castanon. Horticulturalist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. Yellow nutsedge is a common weed that is very aggressive and difficult to eradicate. It can sometimes look like a different type of grass growing in your lawn. And an easy way to distinguish it is by holding it between two fingers and rolling it. If you feel edges, it is a sedge. A trick I learned in college for remembering this was sedges have edges. Nutsedge is a perennial plant that reproduces by small underground tubers that form at the end of the plant's rhizomes. A single plant can produce hundreds of tubers in the summer months, making this plant extremely competitive and difficult to completely eradicate. Some easy cultural problems associated with yellow nutsedge include poorly drained soil. The nutsedge attacks and establishes in these environments. Ensuring that your grass is dense and healthy helps it to compete better with weeds. Proper fall fertilization, proper irrigation, as well as frequent mowing at the proper height will help your grass. Some herbicide options include any with the active ingredient halosulfuron or sulfentrazone have been shown to reduce yellow nutsedge. Although herbicides will help, it may take multiple applications. Make sure when applying herbicides to follow the directions on the bottle for the best results. Remember that herbicides that are labeled for broadleaves will not affect nutsedge because it is classified as a sedge. Late spring, early summer is the ideal time to apply herbicide on sedges. This is because it is actively growing and has yet to seed out and create tubers that will persist the following year. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggiehorticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. You can email Jeanette Castanon at jeanette.castanon@ag.tamu.edu.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, August 15, 2020. Sol Ross Theater students produce radio programs. Pandemic prevented department usual outdoor plays. Tumbleweed Smith. Since the theater department at Sol Ross State University can't do plays on stage right now, it is doing plays on radio. Listeners seem to like them. "We've been doing Theater of the Big Bend for 54 years here in Alpine," said Brett Scott, who teaches theater at Sol Ross. "This year, because of the coronavirus, we couldn't do outdoor theater the way we usually do. We needed another way to provide the degree requirements for our students. Radio drama became the solution to keep our actors acting and still keep them safe from COVID-19. The experience was new to Brett and his wife, Margie, who also teaches drama. "Radio is a fantastic outlet for creativity. It's theater of the mind. When I listen to a radio show, it doesn't matter where I am or where the people creating the show are. We can be anywhere together. It is so free. Students were emailed scripts and auditioned by Zoom and used their iPhones as recording devices and emailed their parts in so we could edit the whole show together. It was easy for the students to use their iPhones because talking on an iPhone is the most natural thing in the world for them. Margie says the acting was a challenge for some students. They couldn't use their bodies and facial expressions to show the necessary emotions. They could only use their voices. Also, on stage in front of an audience, they feel the adrenaline that gives them extra energy. On radio, they were kind of in a vacuum, but they were great and we all enjoyed doing this. They didn't have to worry about costumes or makeup. It was a case of something old becoming new again. The department has done 2 radio shows, both just under an hour long. The first was Attack of the Super Killer Bugs from Outer Space, a sci-fi comedy that Brett wrote. It was aired on Alpine radio station KVLF-AM, BigBendRadio.com. The second was Margie's adaptation of Alice in Wonderland, that also has some of the elements of Through the Looking Glass. The students created sound effects for use in the productions. "We handed out digital recorders to the students," says Brett. "They took them out into the world and tried to record the sounds the script called for. In some cases, it was difficult, as you can imagine, trying to create the sound of killer bugs from outer space. We wanted to create every sound listeners heard. We weren't entirely successful at that, and there were some sounds we had to pull from a sound effects library. But many of the sound effects used in both productions were recorded by students. We wanted to keep it as original as possible." Brett and Margie are working on another play for the fall semester concerning the effects of the virus on working people.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, August 17th, 2020. This is the local page. This article is entitled "Photographer Interprets the Transformation of Western Art" by J.C. Lewis. An exhibit that showcases the transformation of Western photography is on display at the Haley Memorial Library and History Center. "Contemporary West" by photographer, writer, and artist E. Dan Klepper covers a variety of subjects, including movie stills, antique family portraits, the hobo code, hailstones, space, Big Bend, and wildlife. The premise of the show is to create a dialogue about the changes that have come about between traditional photography, which was produced by ethnographers that were doing frontier-wide surveys, and how the medium has transformed into art and what that process was about, Klepper said. "I took that concept and broke it down into sections that pertain to how I made that transition and what I've done in my own art making to address that transition." The show is divided into different ways of looking at contemporary photography, he said. The work exhibits the creation of fiction, documentation, reimagining history and time and space, all done through photography. Some photos have also been painted, and Klepper has printed some on banner cloth or theatrical scrim. Klepper said he spent a lot of time outdoors when he was growing up and went camping in Big Bend National Park often with his family. His father, Dan, was an outdoors editor and photographer for the San Antonio Express News. His mother, Nancy, is a retired professor of biology. Watching his father, Klepper said he saw photography as work. But when he watched Western movies, he realized that photography could be more than just work. "I realized that, as a little kid, I was already taking pictures. I could create any fiction that I wanted to, using this Western landscape I was growing up in and accustomed to," he said. Klepper earned his bachelor's degree in fine art from the University of North Texas and his master's at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. He went on to have a freelance career where he spent a lot of time in West Texas. Klepper moved to Marathon 20 years ago to bike, hike, bird, and enjoy other outdoor activities that he wrote about and photographed. He now has a gallery and studio in the West Texas community. Even though this is his first exhibit in Midland, Klepper has spent time in the area photographing the mid-century modern architecture for freelance work, and many area collectors buy his work. When he released the book, Why the Raven Calls the Canyon, Off the Grid in Big Bend Country, a Houston gallery that represents him had a tour stop at the Haley Library, and he was invited to display some of his works and sell his book. I really thought that architecturally the space was just so beautiful, he said. I thought how my work, which is much more contemporary, would be able to be displayed in this Mission Revival building with big sweeping ceilings and dark wood mantels. Haley director Pat McDaniel said this exhibit is different from others that the library usually displays. McDaniel had approached Klepper during the tour and asked him if he would be willing to do an exhibit at the library. McDaniel said the library usually showcases traditional representation art of the West. This is traditional representational photography. But in some things, it might be a little off the charts, so to speak, he said. It represents a different perspective, a contemporary perspective of the West. Klepper said he wanted to connect a relationship between the Haley Archives and how it is directly connected to what people archive with their own stories. What I did for the show was to take these photos of my ancestors and create some monoprints of them, he said. I updated them in a way and brought in some hand art making in them to make them special but keep their provenance. It attempts to distinguish them from all the other antique photos that are out there with no affiliation or documentation. He said those antique family portraits were also a way to look at people's own existence when it comes to how people will be remembered. It's a look at how we approach our own existence and the way we survive after we are gone, Klepper said. By creating and by appropriating these images to make them more personal and more my own, I am creating the precursor to a future of virtual experience. So these people, in a very small way, continue to exist.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, August 17th. OHS Principal wins regional award. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. For Odessa High School Principal Mauricio Marquez, the year that started off with a mass shooting was capped off with the COVID-19 pandemic. But there was a bright spot for Marquez of winning the Region 18 Texas Association of Secondary School Principals High School Principal of the Year Award. Marquez has received Administrator of the Year for Hector County in 2007 and 2008 when he was principal at Blackshear Elementary School. He was awarded the West Texas Association for Bilingual Education Students Administrator of the Year in 2010 and was Administrator of the Year for ECISD in 2012 and 2013 when he was principal at Crockett Middle School. But he doesn't let the recognitions go to his head. Marquez has just completed his third year as head of OHS. When someone acknowledged him on Twitter about the TASSP award, Marquez said it is humbling to be recognized, but, quote, individual accolades are only possible when you work on a great team, and I have been extremely blessed throughout my entire career to have worked alongside amazing individuals, not just in the staff that I've worked with, but our kids and our parents. I've been extremely blessed. I really have. End quote. This school year was filled with ups and downs, but there's still a sense of excitement with the new year. Quote, I just finished my 22nd year in education, and every year I still get butterflies in my stomach. I get excited at the start of a new year. We obviously get new students as the new group of freshman students arrive over the summer. We also gained new staff, Marquez said. Quote, this year is like no other in that we've had to build and create the master schedule and then change it due to the latest guidelines from CDC or the latest information from the state. So I'm extremely excited about this new year, but it definitely comes with many challenges, Marquez said. He added that people worked tirelessly with him over the summer to ensure that when students and staff returned, there was a plan in place. The high schools have two learning options this year, remote learning from home, or a hybrid model that has an A-day, B-day schedule, which at OHS is according to last name A through L, will be the A-day students, and B-day students are M through Z. As of August 13th, he said 3,288 students were enrolled, but only 250 were attending in person. That enrollment number will increase. Quote, basically, we divided the campus in half to ensure the safety and security of all our students and our staff and to reduce the numbers of individuals that will be here. That student-to-teacher ratio will be considerably less when you divide the campus in half on an A and B schedule. And out of that, you still have students that will select to do remote only, which drops the numbers down even lower, Marquez said. There are some areas that won't be used for the usual purposes, like the cafeteria. Breakfast and lunch will be served in the classrooms. Winning the award doesn't mean Marquez is going to sit back and relax. Quote, there's always room for improvement, he said. I've completed now 22 years in education. I've been in administration for 18 of those years. There's always room for improvement. I do tell people, especially in education, things change from year to year. And the day somebody thinks that they have learned or perfected the art of teaching or even running a school, it's time to go find something else to do. End quote. Teachers have expressed some concerns to him, particularly those with medical conditions or those who have loved ones with medical conditions, and he understands that. With his wife, Crystal Marquez, he has a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old himself. Quote, it's a fine balance. My responsibility is to take care of every child at Odessa High School, all 4,000 of them. At the same time, people ask me, are you not scared that you'll get COVID and you have 2 kids at home? You have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, so those are all things that are real, Marquez said. Quote, so the thing I say to that is we have to make sure that we're all practicing social distancing and that we are practicing the safety protocols that have been provided to us, and hopefully as long as most individuals do that, we will be able to get to some type of normalcy, if you will. Hopefully sooner rather than later, he added. Before the pandemic even hit, there was the August 31st mass shooting where a gunman killed 7 people and injured 25. One of those killed was 15-year-old OHS student Lila Hernandez. Law enforcement killed the shooter, Seth Ator, near Synergy Movie Theater. Marquez said the shooting united the community and his campus. Quote, you take things that happen, and hopefully you can use that to become stronger. That was the challenge at the beginning of our school year, and making sure that our kids felt safe and secure, because that was a tragic event in our entire community that certainly impacted us directly, he said. Then there was the COVID-19 pandemic, which shut schools down in mid-March, except for remote learning. Quote, overall, I was extremely proud of our kids, of our teachers and instructional staff, support staff, of everyone of really coming together and in a very short time frame. They continued to provide learning opportunities for our kids. It wasn't the best by any means, and that's why I do believe that we have a better plan in place than what we had in the spring in ensuring that we take care of students, Marquez said. The high school has about 215 full-time teachers. He added that OHS is still offering all the electives, whether students choose hybrid or remote learning. Students can still participate in athletics and fine arts. A Monahans native, Marquez earned an associate degree from Midland College and a bachelor's degree in political science and a master's degree in educational leadership, both from the University of Texas Permian Basin. Quote, I knew at a young age what I was going to do with my life. I attribute all my success, first of all, to God, and then my mother. My mother is the reason that I have been able to have the opportunities that I've had. My father passed away when I was 6 years old, so my mom raised three boys on her own. My mom is the reason why me and my brothers have had the opportunities that we've had. I do share my story with my kids. I tell our kids at school, if you want a true hero, go home. Don't look at it on the TV screen, because too many times our kids crave that, and they're looking for that. And too many times they're looking in the wrong places. So for me, it was very simple. It was very easy. My mother instilled work ethic in me, and I was told that education was the key. It was the equalizer. I was blessed to have amazing teachers growing up, and that's the reason why I made the decision that I was going to give back, he said. While he always wanted to be a teacher, Marquez said he never thought about being a principal. Quote, I had an amazing mentor in Martha Mitchell, so again, there have been many individuals that have had a hand in my success, he said. But I couldn't have done this without my hero, and that is my mother, Rosa Marquez. My mother still lives in Monahans. I call her every morning to check on her and see how she's doing, as I'm going to drop off my kids. I have a routine, and every single morning, as I'm driving to drop them off at their sitter, I call to check on her to see how she's doing, Marquez said. Mitchell, a retired longtime principal for ECISD, has known Marquez for more than 20 years and said he is a terrific leader. Quote, he builds great rapport with people, his staff, his students, because he's genuinely interested in others and he wants to help people, especially students. I was always amazed how he could remember students' names. He has a great ability of recalling students' names. That makes kids feel so good. It makes everyone feel good, Mitchell said. She added that Marquez is very organized and leads by example. He's very organized and leads by example and is a quality person. Quote, people can see what he wants done, and he can convey that through action and through effective communication. So I just think the world of Mauricio. I think he's an amazing young man. He is doing a wonderful job at Odessa High, Mitchell said.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 72 and clear. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 80s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 80s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program